Now let us listen to chapter number 9, The Bond of Love. It is written by Kenneth Anderson. Pages number 113 to 124. Introduction. This unit is about a strong attachment between a human being and a wild animal that becomes a pet. Encourage the students to locate the incidents that show this in the story and to give examples from their own experience. The exercise of referring to an index for obtaining specific information on a given topic aims to strengthen students' reference skills. Try to add some examples of your own from other areas of the curriculum where consulting an index is helpful. The passage to be dictated is a scrambled story. After the dictation, allow the student to go through their writing carefully to rearrange the incidents logically. The writing activities are designed to help students to build up an argument. Before you read, can there be love and friendship between human beings and wild animals? Let's read a fascinating account of an orphaned sloth bear that was rescued by the author. Sloth bears inhabit forested areas, including the tropical rainforests of India and grasslands at lower elevations. Sloth bears have very shaggy hair and long muzzles. Using their claws to dig, they can then use their lips to form a tube, which can go deep into the ground or into hard-to-reach areas like dead trees for their food. Their main food is termites. You can hear them suck up their food from several feet away. Now, let us listen to The Bond of Love. Paragraph 1. I will begin with Bruno, my wife's pet sloth bear. I got him for her by accident. 2 years ago, we were passing through the sugarcane fields near Mysore. People were driving away the wild pigs from the fields by shooting at them. Some were shot and some escaped. We thought that everything was over when suddenly a black sloth bear came out panting in the hot sun. Paragraph 2. Now, I will not shoot a sloth bear wantonly, but unfortunately for the poor beast, one of my companions did not feel that way about it and promptly shot the bear on the spot. Paragraph 3. As we watched the fallen animal, we were surprised to see that the black fur on its back moved and left the prostrate body. Then we saw it was a baby bear that had been riding on its mother's back when the sudden shot had killed her. The little creature ran around its prostrate parent, making a pitiful noise. Paragraph 4. I ran up to it to attempt a capture. It scooted into the sugarcane field. Following it with my companions, I was at last able to grab it by the scruff of its neck while it snapped and tried to scratch me with its long hooked claws. Paragraph 5. We put it in one of the gunny bags we had brought, and when I got back to Bangalore, I duly presented it to my wife. She was delighted. She at once put a coloured ribbon around its neck, and after discovering the cub was a boy, she christened it Bruno. Paragraph 6. Bruno soon took to drinking milk from a bottle. It was but a step further, and within a very few days, he started eating and drinking everything else. And everything is the right word, for he ate porridge made from any ingredients, vegetables, fruits, nuts, meat, especially pork, curry and rice, regardless of condiments and chilies, bread, eggs, chocolates, sweets, pudding, ice cream, etc., etc., etc. As for drink, milk, tea, coffee, lime juice, aerated water, buttermilk, beer, alcoholic liquor, and in fact anything liquid. It all went down with relish. Paragraph 7. The bear became very attached to our two Alsatian dogs and to all the children of the tenants living in our bungalow. He was left quite free in his younger days and spent his time in playing, running into the kitchen and going to sleep in our beds. Paragraph 8. One day, an accident befell him. I put down poison, barium carbonate, to kill the rats and mice that had got into my library. Bruno entered the library, as he often did, and he ate some of the poison. Paralysis set in to the extent that he could not stand on his feet. But he dragged himself on his stumps to my wife, who called me. I guessed what had happened. Off I rushed in the car to the vet's residence. A case of poisoning, tame beer, barium carbonate. What to do? Paragraph 9. Out came his medical books and a feverish reference to index began. What poison did you say, sir? Barium carbonate. Ah, yes. Barium salts, Barium carbonate. Symptoms, paralysis, treatment, injections of... Just a minute, sir. I'll bring my syringe and the medicine. A dash back to the car. Bruno still floundering about on his stumps, but clearly weakening rapidly. Some vomiting, heavy breathing, with heaving flanks and gaping mouths. Paragraph 10. Hold him, everybody. In goes the hypodermic. Bruno squeals. 10 cc of the antidote enters his system without a drop being wasted. 10 minutes later, condition unchanged. Another 10 cc injected. 10 minutes later, breathing less stertorous. Bruno can move his arms and legs a little, although he cannot stand yet. 30 minutes later, Bruno gets up and has a great feed. He looks at us disdainfully, as much as to say, "What's barium carbonate to a big black bear like me?" Bruno is still eating. Paragraph 11. Another time, he found nearly 1 gallon of old engine oil, which I had drained from the sump of the stewed baker and was keeping as a weapon against the inroads of termites. He promptly drank the lot, but it had no ill effects whatever. Paragraph 12. The months rolled on, and Bruno had grown many times the size he was when he came. He had equaled the Alsatians in height and had even outgrown them, but was just as sweet, just as mischievous, just as playful. And he was very fond of us all. Above all, he loved my wife, and she loved him too. She had changed his name from Bruno to Baba, a Hindustani word signifying small boy. And he could do a few tricks too. At the command, "Baba, wrestle," or "Baba, box," he vigorously tackled anyone who came forward for a rough and tumble. Give him a stick and say, "Baba, hold gun," and he pointed the stick at you. Ask him, "Baba, where's baby?" And he immediately produced and cradled affectionately a stump of wood which he had carefully concealed in his straw bed. But because of the tenants' children, poor Bruno, or Baba, had to be kept chained most of the time. Paragraph 13. Then my son and I advised my wife and friends advised her too to give Baba to the zoo at Mysore. He was getting too big to keep at home. After some weeks of such advice, she at last consented. Hastily and before she could change her mind, a letter was written to the curator of the zoo. Did he want a tame bear for his collection? He replied yes. The zoo sent a cage from Mysore in a lorry, a distance of 87 miles, and Baba was packed off. Paragraph 14. We all missed him greatly, but in a sense we were relieved. My wife was inconsolable. She wept and fretted. For the first few days, she would not eat a thing. Then she wrote a number of letters to the curator. How was Baba? Back came the replies. Well, but fretting. He refuses food too. Paragraph 15. After that, friends visiting Mysore were begged to make a point of going to the zoo and seeing how Baba was getting along. They reported that he was well, but looked very thin and sad. All the keepers at the zoo said he was fretting. For 3 months, I managed to restrain my wife from visiting Mysore. Then she said one day, I must see Baba. Either you take me by car, or I will go myself by bus or train. So I took her by car. Paragraph 16. Friends had conjectured that the bear would not recognize her. I had thought so too. But while she was yet some yards from his cage, Baba saw her and recognized her. He howled with happiness. She ran up to him, petted him through the bars, and he stood on his head in delight. Paragraph 17. For the next 3 hours, she would not leave that cage. She gave him tea, lemonade, cakes, ice cream, and what not. Then closing time came, and we had to leave. My wife cried bitterly. Baba cried bitterly. Even the hardened curator and the keepers felt depressed. As for me, I had reconciled myself to what I knew was going to happen next. Paragraph 18. Oh, please, sir, she asked the curator, may I have my Baba back? Hesitantly, he answered, Madam, he belongs to the zoo and is government property now. I cannot give away government property. But if my boss, the superintendent at Bangalore, agrees, certainly you may have him back. Paragraph 19. There followed the return journey to Bangalore and a visit to the superintendent's bungalow. A tearful pleading. Baba and I are both fretting for each other. Will you please give him back to me? He was a kind-hearted man and consented. Not only that, but he wrote to the curator telling him to lend us a cage for transporting the bear to Bangalore. Paragraph 20. Back we went to Mysore again, armed with the superintendent's letter. Baba was driven into a small cage and hoisted on top of the car. The cage was tied securely, and a slow and careful return journey to Bangalore was accomplished. Paragraph 21. Once home, a squad of coolies were engaged for special work in our compound. An island was made for Baba. It was 20 feet long and 15 feet wide, and was surrounded by a dry pit or moat 6 feet wide and 7 feet deep. A wooden box that once housed fowls was brought and put on the island for Baba to sleep in at night. Straw was placed inside to keep him warm, and his baby, the gnarled stump, along with his gun, the piece of bamboo, both of which had been sentimentally preserved since he had been sent away to the zoo, were put back for him to play with. Paragraph 22. In a few days, the coolies hoisted the cage onto the island and Baba was released. He was delighted. Standing on his hind legs, he pointed his gun and cradled his baby. My wife spent hours sitting on a chair there while he sat on her lap. He was 15 months old and pretty heavy too. Paragraph 23. The way my wife reaches the island and leaves, it is interesting. I have tied a rope to the overhanging branch of a mango tree with a loop at its end. Putting one foot in the loop, she kicks off with the other to bridge the 6-foot gap that constitutes the width of the surrounding pit. The return journey is made the same way. But who can say now that a sloth bear has no sense of affection, no memory, and no individual characteristics? Word meanings. Wantonly means for no good reason. Prostrate means lying on the ground facing downwards. Scooted means run away. Condiment means spices. Floundering means struggling to move. Hypodermic means a long needle used to give an injection under the skin. Stertorous breathing means noisy breathing, as in snoring. Stewed baker means an old American car. Curator here means a person in charge of the zoo. Fretting means worried, unhappy, not relaxed. Conjectured means formed an opinion by guessing. Gnarled means rugged, twisted. Hoisted means raised by means of ropes or pulleys. Thinking about the text. First, given in the box are some headings. Find the relevant paragraphs in the text to match the headings. An orphaned cub, Bruno's food chart, an accidental case of poisoning, playful Baba, pain of separation, joy of reunion, a request to the zoo, an island in the courtyard. Second, answer the following questions. 1. I got him for her by accident. A. Who says this? B. Who do him and her refer to? C. What is the incident referred to here? 2. He stood on his head in delight. A. Who does he refer to? B. Why was he delighted? 3. We all missed him greatly, but in a sense, we were relieved. A. Who does we all stand for? B. Who did they miss? C. Why did they nevertheless feel relieved? 3. Answer the following questions in 30 to 40 words each. 1. On 2 occasions, Bruno ate or drank something that should not be eaten or drunk. What happened to him on these occasions? 2. Was Bruno a loving and playful pet? Why then did he have to be sent away? 3. How was the problem of what to do with Bruno finally solved? Thinking about language. First part. 1. Find these words in the lesson. They all have IE or EI in them. F blank LD. Ingred blank NTS. H blank GHT. Missed blank VOUS. FR blank NDS blank GHT. dy dash 7 rel blank ved p blank ce 2. Now here are some more words. Complete them with ei or ie. Consult a dictionary if necessary. BEL blank VE REC blank VE W blank RD L blank SURE S blank ZE W blank GHT R blank GN F blank GN GR blank F P blank RCE. There is a popular rule of spelling I before E except after C. Check if this rule is true by looking at the words above. Second part. Here are some words with silent letters. Learn their spelling. Your teacher will dictate these words to you. Write them down and underline the silent letters. Knock, wrestle, walk, wrong, knee, half, honest, daughter, hours, return, hornet, come, could, sign, island, button. Third part. How to look at an index. An index is a list of names or topics that are to be found in a book. It is a list arranged in alphabetical order at the end of a book. The following paragraph shows that the doctor is consulting the index of a medical book to find out which injection is appropriate for Bruno. Out came his medical books, and a feverish reference to index began. What poison did you say, sir? Barium carbonate. Ah, yes. BBA. Barium salt. Ah, barium carbonate. Symptoms. Paralysis. Treatment. Injections of. Just a minute, sir. I'll bring my syringe and the medicine. 1. You have read about the French Revolution and you want to know more about the third estate in the context of the French Revolution. You can refer to the index of the book Living World History by T. Walter Wallbank and Arnold Schreyer. Page number 813. French-Algerian War, 696. French and Indian War, 370, 401. French Revolution, 393, 404 to 405, 408, 427, 489. Freud, Sigmund, 1856 to 1939. 479, illustration 477. Frobisher, Martin, 1535 to 1594. 321, 338. Page number 826. Third Coalition, 415. Third Communist International, see Comintern. Third Estate, France, 404, 405. Third Reform Bill, 454. Third Re, 641, 643, 652, 653. On which pages in this book will you find information about the French Revolution and the Third Estate? 2. To know what food security and minimum support price mean in the context of the economic growth of a country, you can go to the subject index given below from Poverty and Famines, An Essay on Entitlement and Deprivation by Amartya Sen. Under which heading in the index are you likely to find these topics? Famine Relief 43, 57, 87 to 88, 96 to 98, 116 to 117, 131 to 132. Fishermen 51, 67 to 69, 71, 72 to 73, 78, 119. Finland 213. Floods 52 to 53, 58, 131 to 132, 147 to 148. Food availability decline. FAD thesis 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 41 to 42, 43 to 44, 53, 57 to 63, 80 to 81, 82 to 83, 88 to 93, 111, 117 to 120, 125, 137, 141, 153, 154 to 156, 157 to 158, 162. Food counter movement 94, 138, 160 to 162. Food habits 12 to 13, 25 to 26, 45, 50, 164. 3. Given below is a portion of an index page from the book French's Index of Differential Diagnosis, edited by F. Dudley Hart, MD, FRCP. Pulmonary Fibrosis, 346. Osteoarthropathy, 271. Pyrexia, 636, 643. Rigors, 669, 671. Vomiting, 804. Bronchitis, acute, causing cough, 178. Hemoptysis, 322. Associated with costochondral swellings, 133. Emphysema, 131. Mediastinal emphysema, 605. Capillary causing head retraction, 325, 328. Casts in sputum, 728. Causing epistaxis, 240. In children, pertussis, distinguished from, 178. Chronic, associated with yellow nail syndrome, 519. Bacterial infection complicating, 729. Causing cough, 179, 182, 223. Dyspnea, 222, 223, 229. Hemoptysis, 322. Nutmeg liver, 463. Cigarette smoking causing, 223. Heart failure due to, 82. Bronchitis, chronic, continued. Stimulating indigestion, 583. Sputum of during smog, 728. Production in, 727, 729. Complicating incomplete sternal fusion, 130. coughing in, causing surgical emphysema, 235. Study the entries and find out whether the following topics are discussed in the book. 1. Bronchitis due to cigarette smoking. 2. Heart failure due to bronchitis. 3. Bronchitis in children. 4th. The narrative present. Notice the incomplete sentences in the following paragraphs. Here the writer is using incomplete sentences in the narration to make the incident more dramatic or immediate. Can you rewrite the paragraph in complete sentences? You can begin. The vet and I made a dash back to the car. Bruno was still floundering. First, a dash back to the car. Bruno still floundering about on his stumps, but clearly weakening rapidly. Some vomiting, heavy breathing, with heaving flanks and gaping mouth. Hold him, everybody. In goes the hypodermic. Bruno squeals. 10 cc of the antidote enters his system without a drop being wasted. 10 minutes later, condition unchanged. Another 10 cc injected. 10 minutes later, breathing less stertorous. Bruno can move his arms and legs a little, although he cannot stand yet. 30 minutes later, Bruno gets up and has a great feed. He looks at us disdainfully, as much as to say, "What's barium carbonate to a big black bear like me?" Bruno is still eating. Second, in the paragraphs above from the story, the verbs are in the present tense. For example, hold, goes, etc. This gives the reader an impression of immediacy. The present tense is often used when we give a commentary on a game, like cricket, football, etc., or tell a story as if it is happening now. It is therefore called the narrative present. You will read more about the present tense in Unit 10. 2. Adverbs. Find the adverbs in the passage below. You have read about adverbs in Unit 1. We thought that everything was over when suddenly a black sloth bear came out panting in the hot sun. Now, I will not shoot a sloth bear wantonly, but unfortunately for the poor beast, one of my companions did not feel that way about it and promptly shot the bear on the spot. First, complete the following sentences using a suitable adverb ending in suffix -ly. L-Y. A. Rana does her homework blank. B. It rains blank in Mumbai in June. C. He does his work blank. D. This dog serves his master, Lee. Second, choose the most suitable adverbs or adverbial phrases and complete the following sentences. A. We should blank get down from a moving train. Bracket. Never, sometimes, often. Bracket close. B. I was blank in need of support after my poor performance. Bracket. Badly, occasionally, sometimes. Bracket close. C. Rita met with an accident. The doctor examined her. Blank. Bracket. Suddenly, seriously, immediately. Bracket close. 3. Take down the following scrambled version of a story that your teacher will dictate to you with appropriate punctuation marks. Then read the scrambled story carefully and try to rewrite it, rearranging the incidents. A grasshopper, who was very hungry, saw her and said, "When did you get the corn? I'm dying of hunger." She wanted to dry them. It was a cold winter's day, and an ant was bringing out some grains of corn from her home. She had gathered the corn in summer. "I was singing all day," answered the grasshopper. "If you sang all summer," said the ant, "you can dance all winter." "What were you doing?" asked the ant again. The grasshopper replied, "I was too busy." "I collected it in summer," said the ant. "What were you doing in summer? Why did you not store some corn?" Speaking. Animals also feel the pleasure of love and the pain of separation. Make a presentation by giving examples from your own experience. Writing. Pets have unique care and handling requirements and should only be kept by those with the commitment to understand and meet their needs. Give your argument in support of or against the statement. Or, there is an ongoing debate on whether snake charmers should continue in their profession. You can get some idea about the debate from the newspaper clipping, The Hindu, 16th June 2004, given below. Read it and discuss it in pairs or groups and write either for or against the profession of snake charmers. Report comes in support of snake charmers. By our staff reporter, New Delhi, June 15. Over 30 years after the introduction of the Wildlife Protection Act, WPA, that banned the catching of snakes in India, a small community of snake charmers continues to practice the trade, catching over 4 lakh snakes every year, which ultimately die in defiance of the law. A report based on new research by the Wildlife Trust of India, WTI, however, has strongly recommended that the traditional knowledge of the snake charmers and skills be now utilized for education and medicine by setting up SAPERA centers. This is mainly because the community has virtually no access to land, education, or employment opportunities. They are dependent on snake charming to earn a livelihood. They trade around as vendors of traditional medicine, snake catchers, and musicians. Ignorance about the law is quite common. The report entitled Biodiversity, Livelihoods, and the Law: The Case of the Joginath Snake Charmers of India, based on path-breaking research, was formally released by the Inspector General of Forests, V.K. Bahuguna, along with a presentation by members of the SAPERA community in the capital on Monday. Despite 30 years of the law being in existence, over 70% of the Joginaths are still dependent on snake charming to earn a livelihood. Ignorance about the law was quite common. None of them own land, even though they would like to, said Bahar Dutt, who led this research. Notably, most of those practicing the trade in the current generation are all under 35 years of age. Trapping occurs throughout the year and during their travels, though this activity increases during the monsoons. According to the data, each family on an average collects at least 7 snakes. Most snakes were force-fed and snake husbandry methods and health were found to be poor. The Snake Charmers Community Council imposes a heavy fine on a person if the snake dies in his custody, as it is considered an extremely bad omen. As a result, the snakes are released when the charmers realize that their condition is deteriorating, said Dutt. Their ambition to showcase the reptiles and earn money was not fulfilled, as they flouted 4 WPA provisions for illegally possessing the animals, not feeding them properly, causing injuries by extracting teeth unscientifically, and killing snakes for the valuable snake parts and bones. Their offense generally invites imprisonment for 3 to 7 years and a fine up to Rs. 25,000 in each case. On the positive side, researchers found that the snake charmers possess a unique ability to handle venomous snakes with a tremendous knowledge of the different species and their behavior. They are also called by local farmers to retrieve snakes who would otherwise just kill them from agricultural fields or human-inhabited areas, she said.